Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
I mean, honestly, I don't even care who's out there. I'm looking forward to whooping their ass either way.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
And Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
The coaching search continues as we welcome you in to the Take the North podcast. We appreciate you joining us as always. And as always, Dan Wiederer of Chicago Tribune is here. I am Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, as the Bears continue to go through this long list of potential candidates. Dan, what is top of mind for you as we begin the podcast?
I'll tell you what's top of mind for me first, Grody. Our audience will not be able to see what you and I are seeing today, which is our dedicated producer, Adam Studzinski, while out of the country at a wedding, basking in the sun in Puerto Vallarta. And so my jealousy is at an all-time high. He just turned his camera off behind the screen here, so we don't get to see that sun in Mexico. Oh, he turned it back on now. He's waiting on a margarita, and Stud's carefully producing the podcast while enjoying a different sort of climate than you and I are dealing with here in Chicago.
That's some serious dedication. I guess it probably is nice to be able to perform this job that Adam is performing and do it with a cocktail and have nobody get angry with him because he's going above and beyond and he gets paid per diem. So.
I was also told that he connected with one of the poolside waiters who is going to be the 21st candidate for the Bears head coaching job. Very, very promising young man who is a leader of men and quick with time management. When you can get that margarita to Studs within 2 minutes, that shows good clock management.
That does. And that's really all anybody is looking for. Apparently, Ryan Poles and whomever is asking the serious questions, that's part of the interview process, is ask. And thank God it is. I mean, it doesn't seem like that should be a revelation, Dan. I would think that all head coaches now and in the past probably should be quizzed on game management. Smart of the Bears to get it out there, though, that it's just checking a box. And look, a lot of, as we've talked about, so much of this interview process, I think, has been media relations and communication. We're gonna look at us, look at this big, long list of people. And, oh, by the way, we'll let it kind of slip out too that, oh, we want a game manager, man, which is okay for a coach. You just don't want that in a quarterback. Dirty word as a quarterback, good word if you are a coach. Game manager, we'll take you.
Right. And I know we'll get into some of Caleb Williams' comments on the St. Brown podcast this week. One of them included his wishes for a new head coach and the traits he's looking for. And among the traits that he listed in a head coach that he would be desiring is the ability to control the game and manage the clock when it needs to be managed. So it all ties together.
Yeah, and we will get into it more, but I will just point out, too, that he mentioned leader of men, too, but I have decided it's just something everybody says now. Like, that's a healthy phrase. Nobody's going to get mad at you for saying leader of men and culture. So I don't know if anybody...
No, you said it! You can't say that word!
Sorry.
Oh, we're not supposed to say that! Oh, my God, what have you just done?
Look, you're the one who has the allergies to that word. I never said I had a problem with the culture word, Dan. I have a problem with that other C word, okay?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe we can just take a 30-second pause here to help our audience, get our audience to help us, because I keep referring to that as the C word, as you told me on Take the North Live last week. That's not the C word, man. We've got to come up with a different way to describe that.
Seriously, come on. Our audience listening right now, probably 3/4 of it goes exactly where my brain went. So don't try to start a revolution with the C word, Dan.
I'm not. So what I'm saying is, like, we got to refer to that as like the C concept or the C buzzword or so. I don't know what it is, but as you know, I'm allergic to it until the Bears can actually become a winning organization, because I've just sat and listened to more than a decade worth of culture pride that results in losing football over and over and over.
Watch me get us out of this. Mike McCarthy's name has two C's in it. Two C's in Mike
back
McCarthy. Back-to-back C's. So that's special right there in itself. But yes, Mike McCarthy interviewed with the Bears. It seems like there were more details that slipped out from that interview than from any of the other interviews, as in they spent the entire, apparently 7 hours worth of interview with Mike McCarthy, which is not foreign to these interview processes. They do go long, but there was a dinner that seemed to be advertised in the northern suburbs as well. And then finally, this is the longest, at least, Dan, you can, you know, chime in here too if I'm wrong on this, but I think it's the longest that it took for the Bears to make official on their website that an interview had been completed. And I guess that portends well for Mike McCarthy.
Well, it was in person, right? And the only other known candidate that has had an in-person interview with the Bears to this point is Ron Rivera. And so, you know, it's my understanding that Mike McCarthy kind of pushed for an in-person interview. You and I have talked previously about some of the complaints about the Zoom format and that it doesn't allow you to fully express yourself, doesn't allow you to give your full vision for a program, doesn't allow you to let others feel your presence. And we've talked about how meaningful presence is for this particular job at this particular time. Don't know where it's going to head. I do think that because this coaching search for various reasons is going to be drawn out, the NFL's timeline factors into that. It offers more time to put the slide of a candidate like Mike McCarthy under the microscope and determine what we're actually seeing there. And I think that one of the things that's become readily apparent in the talk about Mike McCarthy in the last week or so, and particularly this week as he interviewed in person with the Bears, is that his reputation doesn't match his production. He's sort of looked at as not really sure about him type of coaching candidate. And then you look at the resume and you go, well, wait, why is that? Right? Like, I'll give you a couple numbers here. 608 career winning percentage as a head coach. Nothing to turn your nose up at. 11 10-win seasons, Grody. The Bears have had 14 10-win seasons in the Super Bowl era. 7 of those were under Mike Ditka and only 6 since Ditka. So if you want to talk about being able to consistently reach that 10-win plateau, Mike McCarthy has done that. And 11 playoff victories. The Bears in the Super Bowl era, 10 playoff victories. So, you know, like, I think there's parts of this Chicago Bears fan base that understandably reaches for the stars, but also doesn't fully understand where its place currently is. And so, you know, it's like that friend you have who like turns his nose up at the pretty girl at the end of the bar. And you're like, dude, like, do you know who you are? Like, you're not getting her. So like, let's baby step it to where you ultimately want to go with this franchise. And I look, like, I do think there's better candidates in this hiring cycle, but if the Bears hired Mike McCarthy, you'd have a pretty high floor, in my opinion.
I think, unfortunately for Mike McCarthy in the world of public opinion, there is a recency bias here. You're right. He won 10 playoff games in Green Bay, only 1 playoff game in Dallas, 1-3 overall, and done dramatically. as in some pretty bad fails, including they weren't in the playoffs this year, but last year when the Green Bay Packers smoked them, leading me to believe that the Packers were going to be the class of the division this year. So there is that. There is that perception about Mike McCarthy that he's only going to get you so far. But it is silly. It does sound silly for any Bears observer, reporters like us, fans, to be like, nah, we don't want the guy who's had 11 playoff wins relative to what the Bears have had, and that has just been a bunch of stinkers. So
I Wednesday, I believe, was the 14-year anniversary of the Bears' last playoff win. Like,
unbelievable.
Think of how many things that you've done in your life since the Bears last won a playoff victory. Like, I was adding this up yesterday. I've moved five times. I've lived in six places, and I've moved five times since the Bears last won a playoff victory. You recently moved. I don't know how many places you've lived.
Oh, yeah.
Since they last won a playoff win.
Yeah. No, I've moved three or four times, something like that. I've changed my job three or four times, like my specific duties at the score. This podcast here, Take the North, has landed gently upon me as well. So, yeah, no, absolutely. I will say, too, that, and you made the point, there's only so many guys on the already interviewed list that are actually qualified
right
to be a head coach in the NFL. Those guys are, by my count, I would say Ron Rivera. I would say Pete Carroll. I would say Mike McCarthy. Obviously, Mike Vrabel, but he is gone. So I don't know if there's anybody else, Dan, who you just know. If you want to play it safe,
yeah,
those are the guys that you have to look at. Yes.
Yeah, they've done it before and they've been.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Successful at it. Look, like, and we can figure out how we want to pinball around on this coaching search discussion. I do think that the Bears fans' best case scenario, and personally what my leaning would be, Ben Johnson as the next Bears head coach, is still very much in play here. And yeah. So the Bears have to go about the timeline of playing alongside of what the Lions are doing in the playoffs. And the Lions will host a playoff game Saturday night against the Commanders. And I said this on the air the other day, that if you are an anxiety riddled Bears fan that wants Ben Johnson as your next head coach, you're a huge Commanders fan on Saturday night. You want the Lions out of the playoffs as soon as possible. You want the in-person opportunity with Ben Johnson to come, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And you want to get to the end of the road, if that is indeed the goal of all parties, as fast as possible, because it'll make you feel better if the Lions do end up playing into the conference championship, if they do end up playing into the Super Bowl. Well, now your timelines are a little bit more lengthy, and you're just going to have to get more comfortable with the Bears going through this long process.
Yeah, he's definitely the name, and I think that he is that name that people are willing to check the box for, even though we don't know if he's going to be a good head coach. Like, I think Bears fans, and I'll say myself too, that I'm ready to check the mystery box on this. And it's not as much of a mystery box as some of the predecessors, like Matt Eberflus. Matt Nagy had not called enough games and had not had enough success calling games. Mark Trestman was doing it overseas when he did it. So this is a more way more credible version of some of those past coaching prospects that the Bears have hired.
One of the things I like about Ben Johnson as a candidate is he had an opportunity last year to jump, and he hasn't jumped at the first opportunity to come his way. In going through the process, and you heard him talk about this a little bit this week in Detroit, he learned things that he needed to learn, you know, and so things that he needed to improve on, things he needed to think about more, things that he needed to consider to become an overseer of an entire football team, he's put thought into, because he's been through the process a couple times and had an opportunity to think through, okay, how would I handle staffing? How would I handle, you know, delegating my time between the offense, the defense, and everything else? And so I think you're going to have a candidate that has thought through some of this stuff and been able to formulate a plan. He's expressed comfort this time through the process and talking to teams and understanding how he wants to present his vision and what he wants to do. I think that's notable. And you called it the mystery box. I think that's a good way to phrase it, because you don't know if he's going to be any good, but he certainly seems worth a roll of the dice. Again, we've talked about the Lions offense scoring 68 touchdowns this regular season. The Bears had 33. Would be fun to watch an offense that could visit the end zone twice as frequently as they did this past season. And clearly, I think, you know, that's one of the games. There's a full slate of good playoff games this weekend, but that's one that I think Bears fans are going to be really, really fixated on Saturday night.
Let me ask you a question here. Does Mike McCarthy running to the Bears, requesting an in-person interview, suggest that we're a little bit wrong or hasty in saying that candidates are weary of the Bears? I mean, you have a guy who, like you said, 11 playoff wins. He's been with the Packers. He's been with the Cowboys. He came a running to the Bears. So I just wonder if that, because I've always thought, like, my opinion has always been, I get it. I understand how messed up things are with ownership and GM and Kevin Warren and the whole thing, the way the Bears have done business for decades now. But it doesn't seem to, on the overall, have affected them that much in terms of the guys that they've been able to get in the building.
Well, so there's two ways to answer that. And the first way to answer that is, no matter how much dysfunction and failure has occurred at Hallis Hall, this job is always seen as attractive. Always. Every time it comes available, people want to learn more about it. People want to interview for it. People want to take it. I think the question comes in, and it marries up with our conversation about Ben Johnson, is, are you going to prevent yourself from presenting the best possible job to a candidate you desire by keeping the status quo in place, which means Ryan Poles as general manager, which has been the biggest pushback that people in the outside world have had about what is his timeline? What does his contract look like? What does his vision look like? And so if obviously the Bears are going to hire someone, and so it's not like they're going to be sitting there being like, hey, does anybody want that job? Maybe we do need to offer it to Studs as margarita waiter because nobody wants it. Somebody's going to want it. The question is do the people that you most want to work there and to guide your young quarterback to the next level of his development, want to come here under your current setup. And that still kind of remains to be seen. And we'll have to see how this all falls. It looks, you know, like there are certain times in baseball free agency, basketball free agency, where there's like one domino that needs to fall for everything else to kind of align. It feels like Ben Johnson's that domino.
Good so analogy.
He's in the mix for the Raiders. He's in the mix for the Jaguars job. And so it's like when he finally makes a decision, then a bunch of teams are going to be like, okay, he's out of play. Now what's next? You know, and the Bears may be one of them, or they're the team that has the introductory press conference for Ben Johnson. And we go there with that story.
Let's talk about a couple of guys who are coming soon to the interview room. And those would be Minnesota defensive coordinator, the former Miami Dolphins head coach, Brian Flores, and the current Baltimore offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. I think you and I both agree on Todd. We like Todd. I don't know if the Bears would like Todd, but I'm very interested in to hearing and seeing how that interview goes. I don't know, like Brian Flores, like I hear people saying, well, he's learned, he's changed a lot since his Miami days. He's a different man and all this. People don't change that fast. So I'm a little bit concerned about the baggage that Brian Flores might bring into Dallas Hall.
Well, listen, I share your concern on that, and that there has always been an abrasive edge to Brian Flores. It's most alarming when you see the comments, I think, last summer from Tua Tagovailoa about what his experience was like as a young quarterback and essentially having his confidence stolen from him because Brian Flores was too hard on him, right? Like, and so you're like, okay, is that really the risk you feel comfortable taking with the stage of development that Caleb Williams is at? I will say this. My buddy Ben Gessling up at the Minneapolis Star Tribune wrote a pretty deep story on Brian Flores last weekend. I tweeted it out before the Vikings play their playoff game against the Rams. And it's worth reading because it does have some reflection from Brian Flores in there about learning how to better communicate with players and understanding how sometimes his tone and his push had unintended consequences and was received in ways that he didn't want it to be received. And so you have to learn that as a coach and figure out how to press buttons and how to get the best out of your guys. I do think he has expressed a desire to grow, a confidence that he has grown. And that's something that in the interview process, I think you have to dig really deep on, you know, and try to find out, okay, give us an example of how you've changed. Tell us a player that you've connected with that you might not have been able to connect with years ago. And just explain to us why we should be less concerned about what a lot of people in the league express some concern over.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's all true. And we all at some point in time have had to rebuild ourselves in some way. It's just my thought process that people don't change that fast. And he's also desperate to get his name back in good graces.
Sure.
In the NFL. Sure. Would love to have his defense. I kind of dig that defensive philosophy that he brings. I'll
no doubt.
That.
And like that aggressive attacking style, right? Like that would be fun. And you mentioned Todd Monken as well, like love some of the things that Ravens offense is doing, love some of the things that people that I respect that have been around Todd Monken have told me about his ability to lead. I think as a little cherry on top, he would be one of those guys that from a personality standpoint would be really fun to have an audience with 4 and 5 times a week.
Oh yeah.
That's not why an organization makes that decision. That's a fun thing for you and I, but I would hope that during their interview, I think his virtual interview comes Friday, that they get to the bottom of just kind of what he is about, because I think you might start to fall for some of the things he's about and some of the creativity he has offensively. Look, you take a guy like Lamar Jackson, who was already very accomplished when he, you know, took over in Baltimore, and you see the heights he's lifted into the last two seasons. You say, boy, like there's something there. There's something really intriguing when you're going to try to pair somebody with this talented young quarterback that you have in Caleb Williams.
Well, I said on one of our earlier wild prediction podcasts, I don't remember how we posed it exactly, but I think it would be neat if they could actually, if Todd's not the head coach, somehow peel him away and make him the offensive coordinator, give him a bunch more money, maybe change the title a little bit. That'd be great if the Bears were to, because quite frankly, that's really what's needed here. Is not just a great head coach, but one of these up and coming or star offensive coordinators. I mean, that's the real thing. And the real cherry on top, Dan, with Todd Monken, I don't know if I've told you this or not. You know, you and I are on the air on all sorts of different areas. So I don't know if I've told you this in person, on the podcast, on the Score, because we are on all lucky to be on all of those outlets. But Todd Monken's father, Bob Monken, was the head football coach at Lake Park High School, which I attended while I was there. So he's a local guy. I don't know Todd at all. Todd did not go to Lake Park High School, but his dad, and he was probably the reputation that Todd Monken has, you know, using nasty language and all that kind of, that's the way Bob was too. Bob was kind of like, I'd see Bob. I did not play football in high school, but when I'd see Bob in the hallways, I would kind of walk to the other side. He just had this look like, get the hell away from me unless you play football, and you better have a C plus average too.
See, now that's a very easy sell for you to get Todd Monken to be a guest on the Take the North podcast early on. You know, like here we go. We really need to talk about your dad's hallway demeanor, and then we'll get to the bottom of your vision for Caleb Williams.
Yes. And the years that I was there, Lake Park was very good. Like all high schools, there were some bad years for Bob as well, but I don't think we need to go through the Bob Monken resume all the way through here right now.
Were you in the Upstate 8 conference when you were in high school?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Because my first job out of college was covering DuPage Valley Conference and Upstate 8 Conference athletics for the Naperville Sun. So I've spent some time in the likes of Larkin and Lake Park and Bartlett and
Neuqua
Valley and Waubonsie Valley. I got some comfort in the old UEC.
Oh, I hear you, man. I hear you. I did play baseball for 2 years, but the curveball was a bitch, man. I mean, I had to retire early, and nobody was covering me. That's for sure, Dan.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's get into, because I know we were both excited to discuss this. The Caleb Williams, the Bears quarterback, was on the St. Brown podcast recently with Detroit receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, the former Bear Equanimeous St. Brown, and you had Caleb as a guest as well. You were really anxious to talk about this and kind of lead us through this, Dan. What stood out to you? And we gave a little bit of it away earlier, but what stood out to you about what Caleb Williams was saying on that podcast?
Yeah, they bounced around to a lot of different topics. Some of the things that we learned that we might not have wanted to learn about Caleb Williams were when he lost his virginity and what he has an affinity for buying. He likes watches. So those are two things that I wasn't expected to learn when I turned on that episode of the St. Brown Brothers podcast. I would say the funniest takeaway of the whole thing is Caleb admitting that he was a victim of that prank last weekend where someone got his cell phone number, convinced him that they were Ben Johnson, convinced him that they were taking the Bears job,
wild,
texted him, had a text exchange with Caleb Williams, then got Caleb to FaceTime them. And ultimately Caleb realized he was duped, pranked, hoodwinked. Mm-hmm. He called it a classic prank, a grade A prank, an S tier prank. Funny to hear him own up to that. Equanimeous St. Brown, of course, a Notre Dame alum, said you would not have been hooked by that catfishing scheme had you gone to Notre Dame, which we all know is also false.
But Marcus Freeman, the Chicago Bears head coach. Yeah.
So that was out there. But you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown has ties with Caleb Williams via the USC network. He knows Ben Johnson. So their conversation back and forth about Ben Johnson was pretty interesting because Amon-Ra obviously believes very highly in the production that Ben Johnson has brought out of that entire offense. And then they asked Caleb to build his head coach, right? Like to list more traits, which we tried to do at the end of the regular season with Caleb. And he listed off leader of men, your favorite phrase.
Yeah,
he said he wants somebody that's strong-minded. He said selfishly, he wants somebody that's offensive-minded. He said if it is a overseer or a quote-unquote grand scheme coach, he wants somebody, as we talked about earlier, that has good time management and clock control. And then he asked for somebody that has a fire. And I think that's probably pretty important to Caleb Williams. And when you think about what that means in the context of having lived through the personalities of Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, fire, not the first word that comes up when you would describe those two leaders that were paired with Caleb Williams.
It's a great call. And I do wonder what the relationship was like with Thomas Brown. My head is always going back to Thomas Brown's final press conference after the Green Bay game, where he went out of his way to tell us how much he challenged Caleb Williams and some of the tough conversations they were having that were one-sided conversations. And what I want to know is, does Caleb want that to where he was being talked to and told what's up? And I'd really love to know exactly how that went down. Or does he just want somebody with a pulse? Because I don't know. I don't know if Caleb Williams is the type of guy that needs somebody in his face challenging him and all. Like, I think that's stuff that we – maybe he does, but I do think that's easy stuff to make up, and I think that's easy stuff for players to say. I want to be challenged. Does he?
I think there's a difference between being challenged and having someone in your face every day, and I think it's somebody that consistently knows how to keep you – in the express lane of your development, right? Like that knows how to guide you and where you need to go. And when you start to kind of drift and get out of that lane, it's like, no, get back in this lane. This is where you're going and this is where you need to go. And so I do think that there is an element of Caleb Williams that is going to respond to someone that has some palpable outward fire on an everyday basis, because it will keep him locked in the way he needs to be locked in on exactly what he needs to be locked in on. So I think that's part of the request. Only time will tell if the Bears can find that magic formula here. But I do think that he wants more than just a pulse.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious at this point. What did you think about, actually, I should tell you what I think about it. Did you notice, by the way, because, you know, I'm the world's biggest Bring Keenan Allen fan, that he did say that Keenan Allen is, what do you have the exact wordage for that? It was something along the lines of
best player I ever played with.
What have I been telling everybody?
I wrote some googly eyes next to it because it was like, oh, okay. So like,
see, you got to listen to Grody sometimes, Weeder. You know,
I'm wondering how he's going to explain that to DJ the next time that they sit down for lunch at Hell's Hall.
Think of it that way.
Because there's a chance Keenan Allen's not back, because we all know that the investment that the Bears might have to make to keep him around might prevent them from addressing problem areas on the team that need addressing, AKA both lines. So look, like that he said, Keenan Allen, best player he's ever played with, Jordan Addison, the best player he played with in college. So two good choices there, but certainly googly eyes, wide eyes. Oh, what do you mean by that? I would like to follow up on that with Caleb and find out who's on his honorable mention list.
And does DJ Moore make the list? It was a tough season for those two, getting on the same page, things that were said outwardly. And you and I saw those two in the locker room. They definitely got along and they seemed to go out of their way to show. I think there was one point in the locker room where you were talking to DJ, right? And then DJ said something like, Caleb, do we get along? Is that accurate, or am I paraphrasing that incorrectly?
No, you're paraphrasing that correctly. I don't remember if we had shared this on the podcast, but I said, is at some point in the middle of the lengthy losing streak. And I said, are you and Caleb still good? He's like, yeah, why wouldn't we be? Caleb, we get along?
Yeah,
and then they laughed. And then DJ said, yeah, man, we tighter than moose knuckles. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And I looked up moose knuckles on the Urban Dictionary and found out that it's like when a man wears his jeans a little too tight and you can see his balls.
Oh,
you
know?
So they're tighter than moose knuckles, according to DJ.
They're tighter than balls.
I don't know if I fully believed him, but yeah. You know,
tight as balls.
Good to learn something new.
I feel like we've learned a lot and put a lot out there in this particular podcast. Before we get on to a few of these games this weekend, anything else from the podcast that we have not covered already that jumped out to you? There was a lot, but I think we've covered some of the big headlines from it.
Yeah, one small nugget was when Caleb talked about the invasive nature of the Hard Knocks cameras and how
it
was kind of uncomfortable to be in a meeting room and trying to figure out like who's listening and what are they going to do with what they're listening to. Like, it was just another reminder that whole production had little small subtle effects on the team that when you look back on it, you go, maybe that wasn't the best idea. But I thought that was notable for him to say that out loud and publicly.
And I said this during Hard Knocks when I had a chance to be on a microphone and react to the individual episodes. I couldn't believe it was ridiculous how much they were putting Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams in a room together and trying to show the coach coaching Caleb Williams. And I thought it was nonsense then. And I think it's been proven nonsense considering the season that the Bears have had. It was to me, that was the takeaway from all of Hard Knocks. They are really trying to push Flus as a credible head coach.
I feel like in retrospect, that entire season of Hard Knocks is going to be high on the unintentional comedy scale because of what it was framed as in the moment and then what the season became. So it's like, That one's not gonna age well.
No, it's not. Not at all. NFL weekend. Let's start with the Saturday game. We'll go through these really quickly. You got the Texans at the Chiefs, Washington at Detroit. As you said, Dan, the Washington-Detroit game is the one that's going to have the most eyes on it. I mean, as far as the Chiefs are concerned, it's winning time. They're going to win. That's what they do this time of the year. So I got the Chiefs winning that one. I can't call it in the Washington-Detroit game as of yet.
I'm going to call the Lions in that one. Matt Nagy, Dave Tobe, two former Bears coordinators still on the air, one a head coach and one a special teams coordinator on that stage with Kansas City. The Detroit-Washington game, here's a little nugget for you, Grody. I know you like these kind of statistical nuggets. The Commanders' playoff win on Sunday night was their first since 2005, so it broke a drought. And now the Bears are one rung lower on the ladder.
Jesus.
The longest drought without a playoff win. The Bears
Good
last win,
God.
As we knew, came in January of 2011. Can you name me the two teams with longer droughts without a playoff win? And then there's a third team whose last playoff win came on the same day as the Bears' last playoff win, but it came 3.5 hours later. So technically, they've had a more recent playoff win than the Bears have had.
Carolina?
Nope.
Jacksonville?
Nope.
No. Playoff drought. Tennessee. Nope. Let's see here. It's Jets.
The Jets are the team that won on the same day as the Bears.
Studs gets that, by the way. Studs gets credit. You know what? I'm happy Studs is paying attention. This makes me happy. There's no way that I thought Studs was paying attention to this podcast today. Jets.
Jets, and then the number one team is the Miami Dolphins.
I was going to say the Dolphins.
And right behind them is the Raiders.
Oh, man. By the way, speaking of the Raiders, do you think Ben Johnson would actually go to the Raiders? What do you think the chances are of Ben Johnson going to the Bears, by the way? I put it at about 45%. I know it's a tough one, man, because we just don't know what's going on. It's really different. 54%.
I just upped you. I one-upped you.
Yeah, you did. You always got to one-up me, Weeder. That's your thing. Sunday games. Rams at Eagles. Ravens at Bills. I think it was you who said that the Ravens-Bills game is going to be something special.
I'm eager for that one just because of the high-level quarterback play that's happened from Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson this year. Two Bears coaching candidates coaching in that game with Joe Brady and Todd Monken playing against each other.
Yeah.
The weather forecast, though, looks like it might be a factor. I think they're anticipating maybe some lake effect snow and temperatures like in the single digits, like 6 degrees. So
right.
That's going to be a factor. It's not going to be one of these dome shootout games. And so the team that's able to adapt quicker and earlier to that will likely get their shot against Kansas City. Going to be really interesting to watch that one in that earlier game. Guess what that game is, Grody? That is Vic Fangio versus Sean McVay, case you're looking for a fun chess match. That's a good one. You remember, you remember 2018 when Vic dismantled Sean McVay so badly that Bill Belichick stole the blueprint and used it in the Super Bowl 8 weeks
later. Yep, Akeem Hicks being all splashy under Vic Fangio.
You remember the way those guys talked about Vic, the players in that 2018 locker room? Remember how
messed with him, man? He was like, "Yo, he was gold."
Yeah, like Khalil's like, "Man, he's an evil genius." And then I think it's Aaron Lynch that called him a mother bleeping mob boss, you know. And so that's Vic. And so Vic's going to go after Sean this weekend.
Oh yeah, he is one of the greatest defensive coordinators ever. I don't think that's hyperbole at this point. Maybe we'll put together that list sometime.
Yeah.
For some reason, well, I think there's been decent reasons. I've been underestimating the Rams since the preseason. And
Bears beat him.
That's probably it. That's probably that should figure into it. I'm going to continue to underestimate them. And I got the Eagles winning that game.
I do as well.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and call the road victory for the Ravens in the nightcap on Sunday night. I just, That offense seems like it's just in overdrive right now, and I think their defense is playing at a high enough level to slow down Josh Allen just a little bit.
It's the Bills' year. I've got them winning the Super Bowl, so I can't possibly pick the Ravens to win this game. So
I think in the preseason, I actually picked the Bills over the Lions in the Super Bowl, so this would be a departure from that. But in the moment, I'm feeling some Ravens mojo.
Fair enough. I think that is it, Dan. Any other notes here on Take the North before we blast out of here until the next time, which I'm sure will be very soon?
Yeah, it's my understanding that the Bears have completed a virtual interview with Studs' margarita waiter. So we can put that check next to that box.
Does she manage the bar, though? That's the important part. We can't just have a cocktail waitress. That would just be like having Ben Johnson. We need somebody who's done it all, called plays, managed the bar, the whole thing. Yeah,
be the overseer. I think actually performs at night as well at the stage there at the whatever resort Studs is at in Puerto Vallarta.
Fantastic. I'm going to get on the phone for Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune, for our working man, Adam Studzinski in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Shout out to the Studs for still working, kinda, while we're doing this podcast. I mean, you know, he set it up for us. He contributed. He's Adam Studzinski. I am Mark Brody. Thank you all for listening to and watching the Take the North podcast. We appreciate your feedback. We appreciate you watching and listening to Take the North.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.